Praise the Lord. Revelation 3:7. Stop pulling on that now, y'all. I feel it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God's will be done. We have a whole 30 minutes. Glory to God. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, imagine that. Now, listen, some of y'all weren't here. I got to tell you something real quick about Philadelphia. Remember last Sunday? Remember that all of a sudden the word just came, Philadelphia, Philadelphia. And we started praying about Philadelphia. So the next night, Deb's friend, and well, she's actually our friend on Facebook, Art knows her. There is an evangelist, Deborah. She used to be Deborah Alderman. Yeah, Vivi probably knows her. She's Deborah George now. And, she's kin to, the Fords. Yes. Tina Ford. Yeah. And so anyway, She writes this thing on Facebook. She was in Philadelphia while we were praying on the streets, won 1,028 people to Jesus while we're here praying. Yeah. And remember how we were praying? Safety and that. Well, she was in the danger part, the dangerous part of Philadelphia. So I just want to thank Jesus that he used us while she was there. Praise God. Think about that. Think about that. That God uses us right here where we are to speak to other parts of the world and things are happening. Man, God is good. Amen. Preach. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens, say these things. I know your works. Behold, I've given before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I want you to notice the phrase, he who has the key of David. And then he said, he who opens and no one shuts. Now, what is the key of David? This is something you need to know. Well, David was a king. David had the keys to the palace. David was, you know, he was the man. Residing in the palace, and he had authority. So authority is the key. Authority is the key. The one with the key can open doors that cannot be shut. Jesus is the one with the key. He has that authority. Remember, they called him Son of David. He has the key. He says, I'm right here in front of you, and I want to open some doors. And when I open these doors, no man is able to shut them. And so that's where we are. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have an ear to hear this, hear it. Everyone here has a door that they would like to see open. We're going to call it a breakthrough. Everyone here, there's somewhere in your life you need a breakthrough. Whatever level it is, you need that breakthrough of some kind. We as a church together, we need a breakthrough. We need a corporate breakthrough. We're moving ahead. Things are happening, but we need more, and we need more breakthrough. And so we all want to live on another level. We all want to go up, and most of us do anyway. So he said keys. And so there are keys to breakthrough. And most of us right now, because I pay attention, we're poised for breakthrough right now. I hear what you say. I hear what you're thinking. I hear how you're giving thanks to God. I see how you're moving in the flow with God, most of you. And so I would say that we're right here ready to get some keys and move into breakthrough as early as, right now. Anyway, so we've been talking about revelation. Revelation knowledge brings breakthrough. Listen to this definition. A breakthrough is a sudden burst of advanced knowledge that takes you past the point of defense. You hear that? Listen. A breakthrough is a sudden burst of advanced knowledge, that'd be revelation, that takes you past the point of defense. So what I'm saying about defense is that it'll break through the places that you're allowing limitations. You're defending that area. You have limitations. You know, comfort zones, whatever, different things. Listen, some people love to be saved, sanctified, and waiting on the Lord. We just waiting on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Saw you 5 years ago. What you doing now? Waiting on the Lord. What you gonna do in 2 more years? Well, now we're waiting on the Lord. Well, what you gonna do in 25 years? Well, we're waiting on the Lord. Hey, he waiting on you. Okay? So, but people are content to stay there. They deny the need to change. We're not changing. I mean, after all, this is what we've always believed. I'm just so glad that I was willing to read the Bible and listen to some teachers who knew something so that I could get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then so I could find out that God was good, and that I could find out that the gifts of the Spirit work, and that I could find out that God wants to move us ahead and bless us and prosper us, and so on and so on. And I know you're glad about that too. You chose to move ahead too. Obviously you did, or you wouldn't be here in this type of atmosphere. So, but people are content to stay where they are. They don't want the change. So they forfeit an opportunity for any level of breakthrough. Oh, they might show up. I understand there are people who are just showing up. They're just showing up. They'll show up and they'll leave going, that was really good, but nothing happens. You don't see that change because there's some things that are missing, and they are keys. Now, some folks live to stay tied to the very things that God is trying to loose them from. Come on, somebody. Tradition, religion, the arm of the flesh, associations, past rejections, jealousy, inferiority, poverty, sickness. Some people like that stuff. Hey. Some people like to be sick. If you get too well, you might not get your check. Pull the toes in. I don't think we have that here. But I would just say that's just the truth. Some people don't want to get well because then they'd be responsible to go out and do what they need to do. They'd rather just feel bad. Amen. Some people want to stay broke. Some people want to live in entitlement. Amen. So, but I think one of the biggest things is religion. I do. Because religion hates for you to be free. So let me just talk for a minute about some things, how some have lived traditionally in the past. Now, this is just an example. If it's not you anymore, it'll still give you a picture to deal with, okay? I think most of you are past this, but let's just say that you financially got in a crunch, or someone did. Now, your choice when you get in a financial crunch is to either lean on the arm of the flesh or go with God. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we're going with finances because that's the easiest thing for everybody here to get. Okay. So let's say you needed money. So the arm of the flesh would be that A, you would start to worry, or B, you'd start to try to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so, you're going to try to figure out a way to solve the problem. Did you hear me? You're going to try to figure out a way to solve the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no toil to it. You shouldn't toil. Yes, you should think. Yes, you should get downloads. But no worry, anxious toil of, what are we going to do? Now what am I going to do? Now what am I going to do? Now what am I going to do? Okay, so instead of doing what the Word says to do, so you do that. Now, here's what some people will do. They're going to go back to that person who they knew had some money and who they think might help. And in some cases, it could be a really bad association. Yeah, it could be. So instead of, you know, but they're desperate. So if that person could just help this time, I think I can make it through it. And you know, no. Now, so what you did was instead of going to God and believing him, you limit him and you put yourself in the wrong atmosphere, owing the wrong person, money back. And then you have to pledge your life to them. When you don't even like their behavior. Am I doing this good? I think this is right. So, get courage, get your faith, and break that scenario. Once you trust, listen to me, once you trust God, you'll keep it flowing. Don't go back and try to get so-and-so to bail you out. You trust God. The finance will show up because God is faithful. But as long as you keep it, now you could do that with health. You could do that with being offended. You could do that with a troubled relationship. I'm just using finance because it's easy, but you could very easily get yourself in a mess with wrong people because of some scenario that's going on with people in the church and you don't like it, and you could ruin your entire life and get off the total path and go the total wrong way just because you're offended by someone who did something. And instead of giving that to God and letting go of it, you're going to take it on yourself. You're going to judge them. Then you're going to decide what you're going to do. And then you're going to poison other people. I'm preaching really good right now. And then you'll end up leaving the church because you didn't like what was going on. Okay, now, it's a test. Not a test from God. It's just a test. Go ahead and break through. No, I forgive. I forgive. I will let God deal with this. I'm going to cast my care over on Him. I'm going to have what I need. Amen. Now, here's the keys to breakthrough. Woohoo. All right. The main key to breakthrough is to have word in you. The idea is to let God write on the tablet of your heart. Let Him get the word on the inside of you. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. You get it in me. I was listening to Miss Gloria yesterday. Eyes and ears. Eyes and ears. Let the word, read the word. Read the word while people are preaching to you. It's good to bring a Bible. Look at the word. Look at the word. And read the word. And get, that's why we are all going to get immersed for 5 days, 6 days in the word. Because when you get immersed in the word, faith comes. I'm getting around to step two here, but let me show you something about the word, just in case you're not picking this up about the word. You have the word. You put the word on the inside of you in your spirit. Now that sets you up for something. You are now programmed to hear because word is in there. Okay. You have a capacity to hear more and to hear from the Holy Spirit because you can pick up a transmission. Okay, so computer people, listen to me. Hard drive, software. When you put the software on the hard drive, you can pick up what you want to pick up. You can load up what you want to load up. Everybody gets that, right? You got the hard drive, that's you. You put the software in there, that's the word. And then you can pick up what Holy Spirit's saying because your hearer is turned on. It's like you put a component in you that then says, oh, I can hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, listen, you can pick up what is coming. Jesus said He gave us the Holy Spirit and He would transmit to us what was going to come. We can know what's going to come. Amen. God will start talking to you about it. He started talking to us about that yesterday. Some things that He's going to do. So, and don't run up to me after church and ask me what it is. So, I know at least three that will, but, it's kind of like, that's what it's like this hard drive. Now, I'm about to give you the other keys, but just let me mention something to you and then we'll wrap this thing up. Okay. I want to talk to you for just real quick about soul ties. Okay. Because this fits right here. Many Christians cannot walk into their calling because of soul ties. Now, don't get mad at me, church. Sometimes it's family. Or associates or other relationships. When do you know if it's a soul tie? It's when God calls you to do something and the people you're tied to take priority over your life. And you can't do it because of them. I'll just tell you this, and grandmas and grandpas, don't throw anything at me. Well, I need to live where my kids are. Really? Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my father? Those that do the will of God. Now, as much as I would love to live next door to Carter Jones, and he lives in my hometown, I can't go live there because I was called to live here. So we're just going to have to make up the difference and get together when we can. And whereas I would love to be with him all the time, but I don't have to follow a family unit around. I need to follow the Holy Ghost around. It's just true. When they take priority over your life, now, then God takes second place. So, you know, now think about this. So we've had a prison ministry for, I don't know how many years, almost the length of the church, 20 years at least. So we've dealt with a lot of people that come out of jail. We preached in the jails, a lot of people that come out. And what I've seen over and over are the people who get back with their old friends. Because people are like elevators. They gonna take you up or they gonna take you down. Hey man, so glad you're out now. Come on. No, we're not gonna do that. Just go for a ride. And it's the same old stuff, the same old pit, the same old, just go right back. Now, you're like, yeah, I understand that. They go hang around. People do drugs. They're going to get sucked right back into it. Well, church, there's things that you can do that have nothing to do with drugs or alcohol or any of that. You can get sucked right back into familiar spirits with people in your family.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Thanks. So now look, church. That's my family. That's my family. I didn't say hate your family.
No.
I didn't say don't ever not speak to them again. That's not what I'm talking about. I said don't let them be your answer.
Yeah.
You love them. You can go to Thanksgiving with them and all those wonderful things. Have dinner with them. And when you see them, you can say, it's so nice to see you. And they probably think you're the nut on the tree, but you need to watch out where you draw your circles in life, who you're friends with. You need to watch out who you connect with and how you connect with them. Oh, but Pastor, he's so good looking. I know he'll be a good husband. I can change him. I will change him. I know I can change him. He's just so cute. You see how those blue jeans look on him? Yes. He wear those boots. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, that's not it. What does God say? Well, the Bible doesn't tell me who I can marry. It tells you who you can't marry. And then if you have word in you, you'll marry the right person. This looks like a really good business deal. I think it's going to be a great business deal. It's going to be a great business. I think it's a great business deal. Well, what'd God say? There's been things that, you know, I've been an entrepreneur all my life, and there's been things that they're very enticing. And I've heard the Lord say, walk away. It's just going to take your time and your money. Walk away. And there have been other things that have been worthy. Amen. Okay. So just stand strong. Now there are other people, not just family members, but other people. Don't let people influence your decisions. Get around people you can trust.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to the right people. Listen to the right word. Listen to people who have some virtue, some integrity. People who won't just jump off a cliff. Amen. All right. Now the keys. Number one. Get the word in your heart. We already covered that, right? Get the word in there, and then you're going to hear things that bring advancement. And you'll have to have strength then to carry them out, right? You're going to have that strength you need to carry them out. So get the word. Number two, faith. Faith is the key to unlock time. There were some keys here that we can see David. He's a good example. He unlocked time. How did he do that? Well, he's an old covenant. He's in the old covenant, right? He's in the Old Testament. Okay. So, but he acted like a saved man. He treated God like he was saved. God, what'd you do that? You love me. He knew that God loved him. He knew that God was a forgiving God. And, you know, he related to God as if Jesus had already spilled his blood. That's what David did. See, he had faith to get out of time. He stepped into eternity in his spirit, in his thinking. He's stepping into eternity where it's already been done because Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. So says that great example of someone who knew how to behave outside of time. He knew how to use his faith. And that Syrophoenician woman, she needed that her daughter to be delivered. Jesus said, we don't feed the dogs. And she said, yeah, but you'll drop the scraps under the table and we can eat them. Now, he called her a dog. But she was smart. She said, yeah, but I can sure have this. What's she doing? She's jumping out of time by her faith, saying, no, you'll give me this. I know who you are. I know who you are, and you're going to do this. So there once again, she stepped into eternity. She stepped out of time, out of the sequence of time, and before Jesus was crucified, and she got it. You could say she went in the future or the past. Eternity. Church, people in heaven right now, so my parents have been gone like for 39 years. Wow. I've been without them for a long time. But when I do see them again, they're going to go, oh, you're already here. Heaven is not based on our kind of time. Amen. Eternity's not like us. So I think I better give you an example for that because some of you might be new to this. When we say we're stepping out of time, think about this. So you're putting your faith out for, let's say, some kind of physical thing that you want. How about let's pick swimming pool? Okay. Everybody's like, yeah, that's good. Okay. Let's just say pool. Okay. Cause it's what I thought of. Okay. So right now in the sequence of time, I could count up the years it would take me to save to get that pool. Now I would have to save it because I will not go in debt because I'm debt free. Okay. So I'd have to save it and then get it. Some people would do the sequence of paying it out and being in covenant and having to, and I'm not doing that. I'm debt free. I like debt freedom. I want to be able to do what God wants me to do anytime he wants me to do it. So, it would take me time to get it, but faith says I have it now.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want a pool. I want a swim spa. They cost more than my Lexus. Okay. A swim spa. But I believed I received it. And it's out of time. So I have it now. So I could, you say, well, how are you going to get that money? I'm not. God's going to do it. It might be showing up at my house right now. I don't know. Now, the same thing with health. Let's do health real quick. We got time. We got 7 minutes. Okay. You're believing? And your immune system will heal you, right? Will it? Your immune system will heal you. Most people know that. Some people don't, but most people know that your body will take care of itself. Okay? But it takes time. But when these people came up here to get prayed for, we stepped out of time and the anointing right then came. So you're out of time. Faith grabs things out of time and pulls them into the now. See? So from there, you thank God for your healing. The problem with people is they let their healing go and they let the enemy back in by, I don't feel any different. I don't think I got it. No, I'm healed right now. I'm healed right now. I'm healed right now. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about faith is now. Now, so the Syrophoenician woman, she got what she came for because she reached through time. She found the words that unlocked time. That's what faith words will do. You see that? So listen, you're born again into eternity right now. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, light speed hits your spirit. Not lights like this. Light speed up hits your spirit. God Almighty hits your spirit. You're born again and you're flowing in eternity right now. Amen. You just have to get up there in it. Amen. And I don't mean leave your body. I mean get up there in it. So faith works above the light line. And we'll bring it into the sublight line. Okay. So it's the key substance that'll materialize in this realm. Healing will manifest. And listen, you're just glowing with eternity right now. You're glowing right now. You've got it. So you got to let those words out. Number three, the language of heaven. Okay. So we have get the word in you. Use your faith to unlock time. Number three is the language of heaven. Tongues is the language of heaven. It was downloaded in your spirit at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It'll change you. It'll change the world around you. The language carries the essence of God. So, you know, if you're just ever once in a while spouting off a little praying in the spirit, you're missing it. This should be something you use every day to lay out the tracks of your life and pick up where the spirit is going. That's why, hey, we're a spirit-filled church. Use your language. Use your heavenly language. It marks each person with heaven. This language is just saying, I'm yours and you're mine. That's what he's saying to us. In Exodus, they followed a cloud. It covered the tent of the congregation. The cloud was abiding there, and the glory was over the tabernacle. And when the cloud moved, they moved. Is that right? So it was a visible sign that God was with them. Your supernatural language is a visible and a tangible sign that God is with you and that the supernatural is always with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number four, the door to see supernaturally. This is Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as if it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Okay. I was in the spirit. That's Christianese. Let's get in the spirit. That's what we'll say. Right. That means you come into an atmosphere with the presence of God. You come in. You do it. You move into it. Yes, he comes, but you move in there with him. You meet him. Okay. So, listen, in a new season, you dress differently. You think differently. In new spiritual seasons, there are new anointings. There are different paths. Peter was a Jew. He was called to the Jews, was he?
Yes.
But then something happened. He's sitting on the rooftop. He has a vision. Kill and eat, Peter. No, I don't eat that kind of stuff. In other words, Peter, you're going to the Gentiles. He had a vision. He saw something supernaturally. You can see supernatural things and not be all weird. You can see things from God supernaturally, especially if you do the first three I told you about. If you get word in you, you'll be safe. You're not going to do nutty things. And then you come along and you use your faith. And then you begin to do these other things here. So think about what he did. He got a vision, and then he goes see Cornelius, and it opens the whole door to the Gentile nations being saved. Just because he obeyed the supernatural thing that he saw. That's good. That's your key. Don't listen, stop just looking at the natural. Well, this doesn't work, and that doesn't work, and I'm getting old, and da-da-da-da-da. You better shut that I'm getting old stuff up.
Amen.
Even if you're 40.
Yep.
Do I hear 35? Amen, church. Amen. I'm going all the way down to 11 o'clock. I'm getting close right now. I got 3 minutes. So he changed the world. What about Paul? He goes to Ephesus. Remember, he went to Ephesus and there was a closed door. And so he moves to a new place. It opened, then some things opened some more, and then miracles happened, and then doors opened. Listen to what he said, 1 Corinthians 16:8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So he knows the devil's right there, but he has an open door. Can you see how doors open or how breakthrough comes? It came to him because he was prayerful. He had the word. Amen. He was walking by faith. He was praying in his language, his heavenly language. And he was then seen supernatural. They connect. If you get word, you'll be able to hear. If you get word, then you have faith in what you're hearing. And then you begin to pray it out. And then you'll see supernaturally. All the keys connect together. 1, 2, 3, 4. They all connect together. So you're going to get some word this week. If you're staying here, you're going to be watching by TV or computer. Get the word with us, because corporately we're going to move to another level. We're going to have breakthroughs like never before. And it's because all of us, listen, when you go and you get immersed in the word, you'll start, can I say it like this? Spitting bullets. You're just going to come out being so full of the word that you'll be walking in the power you need to walk in. That's why I go every year, church. Is this 34 for us? This is our 34th year. We have never missed. You want to know why? It works. I'm still here. I'm still doing this because it works. This is what has kept me here. Because sometimes you feel like, you know, let's go, let them all go. Never mind. I'm playing. I love y'all. I do love you very much. Church, we're just embarking on a new adventure now today. And so fill up on the word. Get every minute that you can. Watch every minute with us. We'll wave to you from our seats. Wherever you are, see us on TV. People are always saying, I saw you on TV. I'm like, yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. Got to behave yourself there on that front row, I tell you. So, get in that word. It's going to cause you to tap into the Spirit. It's going to cause your faith to rise up. It's going to cause you to be praying in the Spirit. And it's going to cause you to have visions and dreams. You've been promised, according to the word of God, visions and dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Said that the Spirit will come on sons and daughters. Praise God for that. God is good. It's time to win. It's time for you to have a breakthrough. It's time for you to have a breakthrough. You know, Keith Moore said something so simple. And I prayed that you get it the way I got it. He was talking about our bodies, and he said this, church, things can change to the good.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes we get in this thing, you know what I'm talking about? We get in this thing where we think, well, we're getting older, so I guess that'll fall apart. No. Things can get better. And of course, Brother Copeland's a perfect example of that. He got better with age.
Yes.
We can do that too. We don't have to fall apart. Like, well, if we don't get sick, how are we going to die? You don't have to get sick to die. You could just leave one day when you're satisfied. Amen.